You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
I mean, when's the last time we had a round seven guy come through?
Jeff Janis.
When's the last time we had a seventh round guy really come through?
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did you just promise
tonight?
That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
What is up, Packer Nation? Welcome to another episode of Pack to the Future. I'm your host for this week, as John is completely MIA. I like literally haven't heard from him in a week, but I'll take over. I'm Brian Fonfara. On my right, we've got Jordan Peck to the Future. Peck, Jordan, what's up?
Dude, that's a nickname you've been trying to force on me for a while. I'm not going to let it happen.
It again. It's the off season. Like, this is the time to try
to test the new things.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm not going to give up.
Fair enough.
It's what needs to happen. It's the natural progression in your life.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. We'll see what our audience of millions thinks of it. We'll make a call after that.
Yeah, we'll see. Jordan, what are you doing to keep busy during the off season?
Oh man. Well, I mean, right now I've been watching a lot of Olympics, a lot of curling.
There you go.
Watched Shaun White win gold last night, Chloe Kim a couple nights ago. It's just this.
Those like runs were sick.
Oh, very sick. Very sick. I mean, she's 17. 17. Yeah. What was I doing when I was 17? I wasn't doing that. So, it's fun.
You were getting your math homework copied by me. That's what you were doing.
Yeah, that's about right. I wonder, yeah.
Probably not.
I don't know if that. I mean, that might be happening to her too. I don't know. But
quite possible.
So,
yeah.
The idea of me just being on a snowboard at all, let alone going down a hill that fast and spinning 3.5 times in the air and then landing it. Probably not going to happen in my lifetime. That's okay. Yeah,
those athletes make it look a lot harder than it is. It's nothing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. All right. We've got one other guest. This is actually episode one in our series of NFL draft previews, and with us this week is Pack to the Future writer, podcaster, and now draft writer Fred Thurston, veteran of the show. Fred, what's up?
I was hoping for a little bit better of a nickname there.
I thought the intro was good enough, but let's start this over. We got Fred the Bloodline Thurston in the house. Fred.
Yes. What's going on? How you guys doing?
And the crowd goes wild.
It's chaos in the streets. How's it going? It's good to be back.
It's good to have you, man. What are you doing to keep busy in the off season?
Nothing.
Nothing. I like that.
with different prospects, looking at different prospects, different guys that we might go after. Trying to keep my draft cred at a high level and just waiting. I mean, this is the craziest offseason we've had in years.
Seriously.
So it's really exciting. I mean, I like the unknown, the not knowing what to expect, and it opens up such a huge door. Whereas before we were looking through, you know, Ted's vision, and now we don't know. We don't really know what the exact vision is. So it makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah, man, I'm pumped. I was on your show to talk about all those coaching changes and GM change and all that stuff, and I am here for this offseason, man. I'm pumped to see what we're gonna do. Absolutely
crazy.
Pumped. But we still have what, like 3 weeks before free agency begins. I would guess we won't sign anybody until at least a week into it, but
you don't know
still. You never know. You really don't know. Like,
Is Gutekunst just going to go for that Charles Woodson, Reggie White type signing that you have to kind of get on day one at this point? Or is he going to kind of more calmly approach free agency? I don't know. Then there's the whole draft thing of Thompson loved to trade down. He traded up a few times and had decent success with it, but he was the trade down king, as we even saw last year when he drafted King. I did not do that on purpose.
It was well done.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess I'm so good at this now, this whole podcasting thing, that just kind of happened. So cool. Cool beans. Cool beans. All right, guys, before we talk draft, we actually have a couple Twitter questions that I want to hit up first. Does that sound good to you?
Do it.
Shoot.
All right. Our first came from Steven. That is at Steven with a PH, J4. Steven J4. He said, hey, guys, my question is, when do you think Aaron Rodgers will get a contract extension? And I'm actually going to pair that up with another one from, sorry, Curtis, if I say this wrong, but Curtis Polishinski. I think I got that right. That's a pretty Wisconsin-y name. So he wants to know if the Alex Smith trade and subsequent deal really changes the equation for re-signing Rodgers. Says, I was under the impression that Rodgers was going to get $200 million or so dollar deal as it is. Isn't the Stafford deal a better barometer than the Smith deal? So, Fred, you are our guest. Start with, when do you think Rodgers will get that extension, and what do you think about that Alex Smith deal? Does that affect it at all?
I hope it happens sooner than later, just to help me sleep at night, I guess.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, I feel like it's going to happen regardless. So I don't think there's any real fear of it not happening. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, take your time. I mean, you got guys like Garoppolo signing huge deals. Kirk Cousins is eventually going to get a big deal. It's a $200 million situation. It is what it is. 100 plus guaranteed, huge signing bonus. It's crazy. It's going to be insane. I remember when Favre signed a $100 million contract. And I thought that was just insane. I thought we would never really get to that point. And now we're talking about guys getting $100 million guaranteed, which is just blows my mind. But in the same breath, he's worth it. And we've got to pay him. And I think something that is – here's my chance to quick give a shout-out to Ted Thompson. But Ted's made moves in the last few years in preparation for this, so that we don't completely mortgage our future, bankrupt us, all those wonderful things. So I'm hoping it happens soon, but it could prolong a little longer than we expect. As for the Alex Smith trade, why Washington? Why? Like, what are you doing? Like, you get the same guy but older, and I mean, Kirk Cousins at least has somewhat of an upside to where you can, you know, we know what Alex Smith is all about. We've seen it. So you pay someone who's basically the same but older, and the same amount you would have paid Kirk Cousins. I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't think that it has really any effect on Rodgers. I think the Garoppolo trade or the Garoppolo signing and even Kirk is going to have more of a impact. But like he brought up in the question, Stafford deal, I think was definitely the barometer. Cause with Stafford, you're talking about actually a good quarterback. So it's going to happen. It's going to be big money. And when it happens, we'll talk about it and he'll be the highest paid player for 2 weeks.
Fair enough. All right, Jordan, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers is the only quarterback that can legitimately be put in the same atmosphere as Rodgers is Tom Brady, and Brady's about to turn 41 this next year. It's really not. It's Rodgers by a long shot. So whatever the contract, like this Jimmy Garoppolo thing, it's the record is just going to keep getting broken and broken and broken pretty much every season as we go. The interesting thing is this isn't Rodgers' last year, actually. He's got two more years left in his deal with the Packers. His cap hit's about the same from last year going into this year. He's himself is making a lot more money. I think $7 million more dollars this offseason. The interesting thing with Rodgers, though, that wasn't the case with Favre. You talk about those big contracts, Fred, was, you know, Rodgers has an injury issue. I mean, he's had two seasons that he's been out for most of the year now. I got to imagine if, and this is a huge if, I really don't see this happening. I'd be shocked if the Packers didn't lock him up for, you know, a few more years, but if for whatever reason this year he was hurt early in the season and missed the entire and he wasn't already signed, you know, that would be interesting to see how teams would approach that. I mean, he's shown a lack of durability. I mean, it's for Packer fans, comparing it to Favre is almost unfair, but I mean, he's had two seasons now. I mean, even guys like Brady missed one season, hasn't missed a whole lot of time in his career besides that one year where he tore his ACL in the first game. Peyton Manning, kind of the same thing. He had one lost season. That was about it. You know, Rodgers has had almost two lost seasons now for a guy that's, you know, known for his athleticism, but not really his durability, and other games he's missed as well. So I got to imagine that's still a bit of a concern. Regardless how talented he is, he's still turning, what, I think he's 34 now, so he'll be 35 next year, something like that. So that'll be interesting to see that. But again, I think that's still I think it's still unlikely. I think the Packers do lock him up this year, sign him to the biggest contract in history. I'd be surprised if that didn't take place. But a couple interesting things in case it doesn't happen.
Yeah. When does it end?
Like, when does what?
Are we just going to continue to progress these quarterback contracts to the point where you're putting a third of your entire salary cap into one guy's hands? I mean, I know the salary cap progresses every year, but it's like, man, I mean, we're paying guys that have seven starts $150 million. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah. One thing that's come to my mind as a possibility, I don't know exactly how this would work, but the new CBA is set to be negotiated in, what, 3 years' time?
Yeah.
I would not be shocked to see some kind of clause in that CBA where the biggest contract on your team, you only like half of it counts against the cap or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, your quarterback, only half of that counts against the cap, something to that effect. Because yes, like, you have to pay a quarterback if you want any chance at winning a Super Bowl, but we're getting really close to that point where quarterbacks are going to start demanding $35 to $40 million every year. And yes, the cap is going up every year, but it's not going up $15 million every year to where $40 million is what you would pay a quarterback just because it makes the most sense. So I wouldn't be shocked to see that at least brought up. I'd be kind of surprised to see it actually get put into use, but it's something I would like to see personally, because then you can pay those quarterbacks who put themselves in more danger than anybody else, and you can still have enough money to spread around the rest of the league and to spread around the rest of your team so that you have more competitive teams. Like, look at the AFC, how they have one good team every year, and it's really boring. Like, they need to find a way for other teams to be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, and just that's the thing, that you look at the past few Super Bowl champions, and you're talking New England twice with Brady, who, you know, is famously not being paid probably what he could be paid, you know, probably not even close. You look at Nick Foles, who just won. I mean, his contract for a backup is actually pretty good, but it's still not making elite money at all. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Russell Wilson, who I believe was still in his rookie contract when he won his Super Bowl, so right. He wasn't getting paid anything. Joe Flacco got his Super Bowl before he got paid. Mm-hmm. So almost all of these Super Bowls in recent history have not had a, you know, $20-30 million quarterback being paid. It hasn't been the case.
It's rare. And this kind of loops right into a conversation that Fred and I were having the other day on Twitter, until I put an end to it so we could talk about it on the podcast for you people. So do GMs start changing tact here? Because that is the case for the most part, other than Tom Brady winning a few while being paid $20 million a year or so. You see guys on rookie deals, or even on just that second contract, where you have a really good defense, you have a good offense around a quarterback who is playing better than his pay grade at the moment. Like, that's what happened this year. I think Nick Foles made, what, $9 million this year, right? Like he's the Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Played better than 9 million this year. Exactly. This
he sure did. But we're not having this conversation about Nick Foles if they don't have that good of a defense and a lot of weapons around him to make it work. So do GM start changing tact here? Like, obviously the Redskins didn't, because instead of paying one average quarterback, they paid another average quarterback a lot of money, in like crazy amount of money from my perspective. But Fred, I'll kick it back to you. Do you see GMs changing tact and fighting that trend? Or do you think it'll turn into more average quarterbacks asking for $18 to $20 million a year instead?
I want to say both in a weird way. I mean, I if that makes sense. I brought it up to you because I was thinking about it the other day, and I just looking at the playoffs, you had three teams that didn't have necessarily an elite quarterback, Bortles, Foles, and Case Keenum, but yet they're all here in the playoffs, and they're all there because of a strong defense and some good weapons around them offensively. So if I'm looking at it from Goot's perspective, a GM's perspective, at the time when, you know, Rodgers does depart us, I'm going to put more of my eggs in the basket of defense and everything else. I'm not going to waste money and high, really high draft picks even on hoping that some quarterback is going to come in, because the bottom line is that a team that's built bad, well, let's use the Browns for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's
too easy, Fred. That's too easy.
So I know, but it's the easy route, so I'm going to take it. But here they are. They don't have a good squad around them, and they keep bringing in these quarterbacks expecting this college kid to be the savior, when that's just not the case. It doesn't happen in the NFL. Rodgers wasn't going to be good coming out of the gate without people around him. I mean, if you would have put Rodgers on Cleveland, we wouldn't be talking about Aaron Rodgers as the GOAT. I don't think we would. You know, Tom Brady came into a Super Bowl team. Russell Wilson came in and looked fantastic because that team was built already for him. People mm-hmm. always say, well, Cleveland screwed up because they should have went after Wentz, so they should have went after Deshaun Watson. Those two would not have played to the same caliber that they played this year on Cleveland. It's more than just bringing a guy, putting him on there and saying, okay, fix us, save us, take care of us. Nah, there's so much more to it. But going back to the question, because I'll start ranting about everything else, I think that GMs are going to definitely look at it. Look at building around and then bringing in, instead of bringing in and then building around. But in the same breath, here we are with guys who are average quarterbacks demanding elite quarterback money. So does it even matter? I mean, if you put together a fantastic defense, a fantastic, you know, wide receiving core, and you bring in a facilitator, if you will, he's going to win with that team and then ergo demand money. So you're almost going to be stuck no matter which way you go.
Yeah. So I have a couple thoughts. One, you brought up the Browns and how they've built this team the exact wrong way. I completely agree. If I were building a team, I would build it a lot more like the Jaguars did, where you bring in quarterbacks here and there, but you spend your time and energy building a defense, building an offense around, so that when a decent quarterback comes in, he can have success because he has everything laid out for him. The Browns took the tact of draft quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, and they made mistakes in two areas here. One, they spent first round picks on Brandon Whedon and Johnny Manziel, and they were just blowing first round picks on bad quarterbacks every year. Second, they went into this year with a rookie and a second-year quarterback on their roster and nobody with any more experience than that. So this idea of going 0-16 was almost inevitable, because you have – maybe you have average talent at quarterback, but neither of them knows what it takes to win in the NFL, and they have nobody there to tell them how to win in the NFL or show them how to win in the NFL. So just mistake after mistake.
Unfair thing about that is that, and Johnny Manziel is a whole nother story, but I've seen a lot of really good collegiate quarterbacks, who had all the tools, all the stuff, go to teams like Cleveland or, you know, Jacksonville or wherever that may have been, and they fail and everyone labels them as just a terrible pick, those guys might have been dynamite mm-hmm. on a different team. It's so much more than just the one guy. It's the chemistry, it's the coaching, it's the player personnel, it's all that. And so I see a lot of really good college quarterbacks run and go through. Now, I don't think Brandon Weeden would have been necessarily fantastic or even Johnny Manziel, but you put Johnny Manziel on, say, Dallas with that offensive line and Zeke, he would have had a whole different – I think his results would have been a lot different. So that, to me, is unfortunate because there's a lot of quarterbacks who come into the league and they have to fade away and die out because of poor GM, you know, work, if you will.
Yeah, and so there's – There's a kind of dichotomy here, I guess. Like, you've seen quarterbacks like Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco and Brad Johnson and now Nick Foles win Super Bowls because they have two things. One, they had a coaching staff that was able to game plan around not having a great quarterback. And two, they had a top five defense. Like, even the Packers winning the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers wasn't a top five quarterback yet. Like, that Super Bowl run is where he really came out and became Aaron Rodgers. We got to that Super Bowl. Yes, Aaron Rodgers was great, but we had the number one, number two defense, depending on metric, that year. Like, that was huge. We wouldn't have won that Super Bowl without that. So the idea that defense wins championships is real. And the other thing that it takes is, as I mentioned, that coaching staff that can take just about any quarterback and game plan him to win. Most coaching staffs cannot do that. The Green Bay Packers coaching staff last year could not do that. Mike McCarthy and Edgar Bennett were not able to put together game plans where they could win games with Brett Hundley. Put Brett Hundley on the Eagles, and they probably don't win the Super Bowl, but they at least win a few more games than the Packers do with Brett Hundley, because they had a coaching staff that was willing and ready to adjust their game plan. It happened. It won them a Super Bowl. I would say, as far as head coaches and offensive coordinators go, there's probably like 5, maybe 10 in the league that can truly effectively fit their game plan to the quarterback that they have, as opposed to just saying, here's our game plan, you need to fit it. And it's not just quarterbacks. Like, you look at the Packers defense over the past 5 years, it's been Dom Capers has this system and he is either unwilling or unable to adjust it so that the Packers can have an elite defense. It was infuriating. Not all defensive coordinators are like that. Hopefully Mike Pettine isn't like that, but it's the same at quarterback. Not everybody can take Nick Foles and go win a Super Bowl with him. It takes that defense. It takes that special offensive coaching staff to make it all work. And now what you're going to see next year is the Vikings are probably going to lose both Sam Bradford and Case Keenum because somebody is going to pay them big money and they're going to go put up average to below average production. And Nick Foles, I would guess that he stays in Philadelphia, but you might see somebody try really hard to trade for him thinking, oh, well, Nick Foles has just arrived and he's going to be this great quarterback and he's going to go back to being average because the team he's on doesn't have that defense and doesn't have that offensive coaching staff. So I don't think things change too much because when you get an elite quarterback, you got to keep him because your chances at winning a Super Bowl still go up if you have that elite quarterback, even if you're paying him. So I don't think tact changes a whole lot. Jordan, you have any thoughts?
Well, just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying there, you almost need to get a little, if not a lot, lucky with some of your draft picks too. A case I was talking about in terms of quarterback salary with Super Bowl champions, one recent team that kind of bucks that a little bit was the Denver Broncos have won, you know, paying Peyton Manning. I think it was pretty close to $20 million. Might have been a little bit under that. Definitely the twilight of his career. Not a good season for him. If you guys remember, he was not that good a quarterback that year. He was bad. So, and just with that particular team, they had a fantastic defense. I can't remember. I don't believe Von Miller was quite in his rookie deal at that point, but he wasn't getting paid huge, huge money. So he had that pick that worked out very well for him. He had Wade Phillips, talking about coaching again, and Wade Phillips is their D coordinator. did a lot of great things with that. That defense is what won that Super Bowl. Cam Newton is clearly the better quarterback in that matchup, and the Denver defense, he didn't look good against him at all. And that was the difference for him in that year. So that's a lot of things need to go well for you to win a Super Bowl championship. That's a pretty obvious statement, but you know, the Packers, yeah, they need a little bit. They need some luck with some of these draft picks. And with Patton as our new D coordinator, hopefully with some of these young guys that we have, a lot of these guys can get turned around. This defense can become, if not elite, again, this defense doesn't need to be elite to win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. They don't. But they need to be a lot better than they were the past few years. There's a lot of room for improvement. So, that's the exciting thing for Packers fans is that it's not like you need a whole overhaul of everything. You just need some of these guys to be able to play better, hit on some draft picks, and they can be all right. They can be okay.
Agreed.
Back to the Future is brought to you by Handmade by Heroes, officially licensed NFL, NBA, NCAA, MLB, and NHL products, as well as golf, medical, and U.S. military branch accessories. You can even have your own design, custom-made, all handmade by U.S. military veterans. Paracord bracelets, keychains, lanyards, and more. Each handmade by a hero. Visit them online at handmadebyheroes.com. Use promo code PACK for free shipping on your next order. Handmade by Heroes, empowering our nation's veterans.
Jordan, you mentioned draft picks, so why don't we move on to some draft talk here? Because we have another question here coming from Cole, that is at the number 1.618033989. Jordan would probably know the meaning behind that, I feel like, as a math teacher.
What are the numbers again?
1.618033989.
Yeah, that's the, I believe that's the golden ratio, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so too.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, Jordan's other podcast is all about being a math nerd, so go listen to that. Question
coming in 2020, still in development.
So the Packers have 11 picks or so available. Seems high. How many players do the Packers actually draft? So let's hear this. First of all, Fred, you're our draft guy. Is that right? Do we have 11 picks for this draft coming up?
That sounds about right.
I think so, because we have a few extra fifths. We have an extra third. I think we're at 11.
We have four.
We don't know much about Gutekunst. Yeah, there it is. So we don't know much about Gutekunst and what he'll do as far as trading up, trading down. We mentioned that Ted Thompson always liked to trade down a lot, like a crazy person almost. Now we've got this new guy in town, so it really is our best guess. So Jordan, take the first stab at this. How many players do you think we'll actually end up drafting on draft day this year?
11 picks right now. I'd say I truly believe that we're going to be a little more proactive in the draft, kind of moving up and trying to get some pieces. Again, I think with Gutekunst, and most people would say that, you know, Rodgers is still fantastic. You know, he's still the best quarterback in the game, if you're asking me, but he is still 34. I mean, the window, as much as people don't want to maybe admit it, the window is closing. They need more higher end talent. I mean, we've done okay with some of these third day draft picks, but I mean, you increase your odds of hitting a home run on a draft pick if you're drafting the first couple days. So I'd imagine if they're able to work out, you know, draft picks in the third day or in future draft picks in future years, into getting another, you know, round two pick or round three pick or even a round one, I think they're going to do things differently than what Ted Thompson did. I find it hard to believe that you would let Ted Thompson go in the GM and then replace him with someone that's exactly the same. Now, I don't know if that's actually true or not, but I'd like to think that Gutekunst is going to do things slightly different than what Ted did. And that would be different than what Ted did. He didn't trade up very much. And when Ted did, that's the thing. When Ted did trade up, it usually worked out well. That was when we got Clay, I believe, in 2009. Yeah. So, I mean, it can work out very well if you get the right team to trade up with. So I look for him, hopefully, to be aggressive this draft pick. So I'd say if they're going to make him, if they're going to go for a first-round pick, I'd say We'll probably have maybe eight, but I think that's probably a little unlikely. I still say we trade up into day two, second and third round picks. I'll say the Packers have 9 draft picks when it's all said and done.
I'm gonna say 8, because I think part of what they're gonna do is something in round 2, whether that means packaging their second round pick and their comp third round pick to move up in round 2 to like that top 5 of round 2, something like that. Or I would not be surprised to see them take both of those third round picks that they have and then maybe have to throw in like a fifth or sixth or something to move back up into round 2. So they have 3 picks in the first 2 rounds. Really would not be surprised by that at all. And again, like we're not at a point where we need quantity. Like we have decent depth at just about every position. It's starters that we need at certain positions, and we're only going to find those in those first 2 rounds more than likely. So yeah, I'd see him being aggressive in that second round in one way or another. That's my guess. So I'm going to go with 8. You're going with 9. Fred, how many guys are we going to pick?
I'm going to go 8 as well. I think that's a good number. You kind of nailed it with, our depth. We're not looking for depth. Ted's made depth for us. We're at a point where we do need to go for kind of those home run guys. It's hard because we don't know. We just don't have any idea what's going to happen. And again, like I said earlier, that's what makes it so exciting. But I have a weird feeling that we trade back up into the first round, end up with 2 first round picks. I know it's kind of bold and it's kind of crazy. And coming off of a tenure of Ted Thompson, we all probably will have heart attacks and start falling to the ground if it happens. But here's my thought. And I brought this up to Blaine on the sweep and actually another one of my buddies, but Goot comes from Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson comes from Wolf, and they're all intertwined in some way, shape or form. When Ron Wolf came to Green Bay, he made a huge splash move and he traded for, what's that guy's name again? Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
And kind of a big deal, right? And worked out great. And it was kind of his staple move, his welcome to Green Bay. This is what I'm doing. Ted did the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. I know that you could argue he kind of had to take him in a sense, but he didn't. And we've known Ted to not take what everyone thinks, and it is what it is. But that was his big move, and he took it, and he took that chance. Does Goot do the same thing? Does he go in and say, I'm going to trade back into the first, or I'm going to trade up in the first and get that guy, that staple guy that sticks with me for my tenure, as GM? I know it seems crazy. I don't think it's a quarterback, obviously, so that makes it a little different, but
right.
I'm very high on us getting some big time playmakers, and with the depth that we have, like you said, we don't need someone that we can project in 3 or 4 years to be a good guy. We need someone right now who mm-hmm. can basically come in and do what we need to do. And so I think that we're going to see some interesting things. Again, it all depends on what happens in free agency and all that too. That can make obviously huge differences, but I see some big moves. I see a potential of trading back into the first, or even trading up a little bit and getting someone else, someone that might be outside of our box.
All right. I like that. All right, Fred, you are here to be our first draft guy of draft season, and you are scouting wide receivers and cornerbacks specifically for Pack to the Future. So let's talk about those a little bit. I'm going to throw our last Twitter question at you and then ask the question that I wanted to ask. And if you want to hit on this guy as well, that's great. Probably a poor choice of words on mine. Don't hit on guys. You're married.
It's Valentine's Day.
All right. So at Pack on the Attack asked, do you think Josh Jackson be a good fit? He is the cornerback who made some pretty outlandish interceptions for Iowa this year. So keep that name in mind while I ask you about wide receivers and cornerbacks. And if you find a good chance to bring him up, go for it. But I want to start with those two positions. Just give me like a real quick rundown on why those two positions are such big needs.
Huge needs. I think they're both potential choices for those two first round picks I just was talking about. I love the idea of a wide receiver. Obviously, we all know the situation there. Devontae Adams gets his big contract. We have the issue with Cobb and Nelson. Nelson being older, Cobb being underproductive for the money he's being paid. Cobb is being paid similar to, I don't remember who it was, Julio Jones or something, like some big time top five receiver. Really unfortunate in that sense. I think Cobb is fantastic, but I think he's, again, just being paid too much. So there's an interesting dilemma or dynamic there with who we're going to keep, who we're not going to keep. I think it's time we bring in, go big and get someone like a wide receiver. We haven't done that. When Aaron Rodgers, during his career, he's only played with three first-round picks on offense. That's it. His entire career. And that's Brian Bulaga, Derek Sherrod, who I don't even want to get talking about, and Cedric Benson. I mean, that's crazy if you think about it.
So only two of them we drafted, and yes, they were both offensive linemen.
Yes. So he's sad. Never had that quote unquote first round talent. So I think drafting a stud receiver to go up opposite of Devontae and grow would be really exciting. And then again, with corner, I think that's been kind of an issue that we've had in the last couple years with the weirdness with Randall and Rollins. Shields obviously going down, breaking a lot of people's hearts, mine included. So I think both are positions that are of need, and it's a great draft class for both of them. So I'm excited to see if they go for either or both or when. And there's definitely need. There's definitely need.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that big time. So let's go into that first round. Assume that our pick is going to be either a cornerback or a wide receiver when they call the Packers to the podium at pick number 14. Give me one player at each position that would put a big smile on your face if they were drafted even that high by the Packers.
Josh Jackson. That's the name that I think everyone has kind of been talking about. I don't know if I'm totally sold on him being the number 14. I think he had a little bit of a poser year, if that makes sense, I guess, for some people. I think he has a lot of skill. I think he's a ball hawk kind of guy. But I don't know if he's much more than that, if he's just an interception guy. That concerns me, but I don't know if I'd be super mad, but I don't know if I'd be super pumped. Other than that, I'm not really sold on that at that position in the draft for a corner. And same with the wide receiver. And that's kind of where I come back to the trading and either coming back into the first or trading up, because I feel like at 14, you're kind of in that weird middle zone where there's a couple guys that you could potentially go. It's tough. I want to sit here and say, go for this guy, go for that guy. That's it. Here it is. But you don't know. I think with corner, Josh Jackson's a big name. Denzel Ward's a big name. Both wouldn't be terrible. Wide receiver wise, you know, you look at like a Calvin Ridley, he's kind of the cat's meow when it comes to receivers. A Cortland Sutton out of SMU, a big guy, 6'4". He's kind of intriguing to me. I have a guy that I don't know if he's really at the number 14 spot, but someone that I really like is Michael Gallup out of Colorado State. He intrigues me a lot, and I think he will be a name that we start hearing a little bit more and a little bit more. The thing with the draft, a little set of names and everyone kind of gets excited. And then we have all these months until it actually happens. And so people have to come up with new things to keep it going and keep it interesting. And that's where you get these hype on players that sometimes aren't always negated. But I'm a huge fan of Gallup, really think he's got a ton of potential and he will rise. But you know, like someone like a Cortland Sutton, the wide receiver group is very tall. There's a lot of 6'4s, a couple 6'5s even. So that's interesting because we've not really had a receiver like that. We've never had a huge, I mean, we've had a couple tight ends or a tight end who quit on us, but it would be interesting to see if we had a big old 6'4 receiver, what that could do for Rodgers and lining up opposite of Devontae.
All right. So let's move on from the first round. Let's go middle rounds, round 3, 4, 5, something like that. What's one diamond in the rough? What's one gem that you can get in the middle rounds, one at each position?
At corner, I like DJ Reed out of Kansas State. 5'9", so he's a little shorter. I like a little bit more height in our corners. I think with, you know, just some of the length of these receivers nowadays, you almost have to have something bigger. But with Kevin King, we kind of have our guy for that. 5'9" isn't ideal, but he's a beast, and he's someone that could absolutely slip to the third, fourth, even fifth round. Entering the season, he was a Chuck Bednarik Award watch list, Jim Thorpe Award watch list, and the Nagurski Award. I mean, that's crazy. That's huge. Kansas State, he's just a playmaker, a good tackler, good in coverage, good in press man. I think he's got some potential and a guy that could wind up in the third, fourth, and end up being a starter for us for a long time. And then someone for receiver, I don't know if we're going to look at third and fourth round, maybe a little later. And I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. This is someone that my 11-year-old pointed out to me. And I had no joke, was not even on my radar. Didn't have a whole lot on him. Didn't even watch a lot of film on him. Saw him in a couple games, but he was just an afterthought. Braxton Berrios from Miami, another 5'9 guy, real short, but a playmaker, a big time playmaker, came up big time in big games, 51 receptions, 9 touchdowns against teams like Florida State, Wisconsin, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame. The reason that I think he would be such a fit for us is because when we look around the NFL, at what's going on with the receiving game, passing game, and just kind of having that scat back kind of guy, you know, the James White, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman type guys, he's that kind of guy, a slot guy that's super quick, can make the moves, and just could be a real threat. I know that we have, obviously, Cobb, and we have Montgomery, who kind of is a part of that as well. But I think that there's just a change, and I think it's going to be a more of a quick passing game going into the season. And I think he could be an interesting steal, late round, potentially sixth round, that could make an impact on the Packers.
All right. Well, before we move on, Fred, tell the people at home a little bit about what you do at Pack to the Future and the sweep and what they can expect out of your draft writing content at Pack to the Future this year.
The same as always. Throw out some crazy names, hope maybe one hits. That's basically what I do. I'm just kidding. I love the draft. I like to go into a lot of different things. I'm excited to kind of focus on the two positions this year and see what's going on there. So you guys can check me out, Pack to the Future. We'll do it on the sweep. We're going to have some specific draft episodes kind of breaking down each position. Like I said earlier in the show, it's just going to be fun. It's so much different this year with the new GM, new coaching staff. We don't know, you know, necessarily what Patton, what Philbin is going to want, need, you know, to make the season right. And it's a different approach. You know, I've kind of in a weird way, you know, become so used to what Ted's done. And when I would look at, you know, film and names and all that stuff, you got a formula, if you will, or a pattern that you kind of started to just, you know, you'd look at guys from Western Michigan or Central Michigan, or you look at only character type guys or only so tall, or you just things that you notice that Teddy would like on. With Goot, I don't know if any of those apply. And so it's completely broadened my search, which has made it a lot more intense. but it's really fun. And, you know, not knowing if he's going to go after a guy that Ted would have probably never looked at, because maybe he has a small character flaw, or, you know, there are schools that Ted didn't always look at. Maybe Goot does. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be really interesting. I'm excited about doing the draft and even free agency as well. I think that's going to be a fun little time for us for once in a very long time.
Fair enough. I like it. Fred, thank you so much for coming on and talking draft with us.
Anytime, my man.
Jordan, kick off our final thoughts segment here.
Final thoughts. Well, I mean, we kind of talked about it before, but this is in time of sports, you know, football is now over. Sad day. You have basketball and hockey, but not quite into playoff time. You got baseball with pitches and catches reporting this week, but, you know, we're still a ways off from baseball. So I have been all in on the Olympics as we're recording this on a Wednesday night. In about 5 minutes, the U.S. men's curling team is about to play their second round robin match. I will be watching that live, hopefully staying up for the entire thing. I'm not sure if I'll be able to, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best to do it. So I'm all in. You get these couple weeks once every 4 years. So, you know, you got to plan your nights and your days around it. And that's what I'm doing right now. So being a true,
so to Jordan's students who are listening, if he doesn't show up on Thursday, this is why he did not. Well,
they already know about my love for curling. I actually brought it up in a physics class this week, you know. So if I can turn it into a field trip and I get to curl again, then that'd be fun too. So
nice.
we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got to be honest with you. That's all I got right now.
All right, I'll take John's role here and remind you to tell people where to find you on Twitter.
Oh yes, you guys can find me on Twitter at jgpeck41.
All right, Fred, I didn't warn you about this, but do you have any final thoughts to share?
Jerry Kramer. Jerry super Kramer. Pumped for him. I know you guys have probably already delved into that on a few episodes, but I'll take another chance to just congratulate him and his family on being longly overdue inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Super happy for him, super excited for him. It'll make for a fun early football situation for us. You know, we kind of at that point we're all kind of clamoring for some football, so it'll be fun. Excited for him. Huge on the Olympics as well. I'm gonna be watching that curling going on. There's a curling, can actually do curling right around my hometown, so I might actually just head on out and go do some curling, and you know, I'll send you some videos.
You should. Nice. I gotta get the closest one to me is about an hour and a half, so I'm jealous of you right now, Fred.
We have one that's in Green Bay. I know we tailgated right by it.
We did.
Back to the Future guys. And then I didn't even know about this one, but there's one like literally 7 or 8 minutes from my house. When I found that out, I was like, all right, well, let's get going. Let's nice. Recruit a couple guys and we're going to go figure it out.
You guys weren't there for this part, but me and John and my brother, before heading out of Green Bay, one of the guys that runs tournaments out of that Green Bay curling center, curling club, whatever it's called, he brought us in and showed us the ice. Wouldn't let us toss a stone or anything, but he brought us in. It was a really nice facility. It was pretty sweet in there.
Well, dang.
I know, it was awesome. And I'll also add one note. You mentioned Jerry Kramer. We're all extremely excited for him. Just this morning, we published an article about his long road to the Hall of Fame that was written by Christopher Hall. He's our, I guess you would say he's our historian. He's the guy that writes all of the Pack to the Past stuff and all the stuff that kind of delves into what's already happened with the Green Bay Packers. And he does some really good work, did an awesome job, I think, on this Jerry Kramer article. So go check it out at packtothefuture.com. It's awesome. Fred,
it's incredible.
Where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at fthurstonxxii or at @thesweep_pttf. Send me all sorts of good stuff, bad stuff, good stuff, all that. And I will also second that article, incredible. He did a great job.
It's real good, man. It's real good. All right, so my final thought, I only have one. Jordan, you're going to have to kind of attest to this. You've seen me play soccer, basketball, whatever. You've seen me go down holding my knee a lot in my lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Like I've always been, I don't want to say clumsy, but I've always done some stupid things when playing sports that led to injuries, and just I'm very used to dealing with myself being injured, bruised ribs, broken toes, twisted knees, all that good stuff. I've had all of it. I'm in a weird position right now because my wife went skiing on Friday with her brothers and she hurt her knee. And she's now limping around our house and like wearing my old knee brace and putting on Icy Hot and all that stuff. And it's really like, I don't know how to handle this. Like, I know what to tell her to do, but I don't know how to handle not being the one that's injured. It's been really weird.
It's extremely unattractive, I will say that. So, you know, hopefully she heals up pretty soon.
It's unattractive. You're an ass. You really are. You're lucky she doesn't listen to this show.
That's good.
But yeah, it's been weird. Like she's not seriously injured, but it's like twisted and hurt just enough to where she's limping. She's not like, it hurts for her to walk up and down stairs, that kind of stuff. So I think she'll be back at 100% in a week or so, I would guess, based off of my history of injuring my knees. But yeah, it's really weird to not be the one in the knee brace and not be the one limping all around the house. So
maybe go put a knee brace on and just limp with her.
I'll be honest, like my first instinct was to sympathy limp.
Yeah.
When I saw her start to limp, I'm like, oh man, I should be limping. No, I'm not the one that's hurt this time. What? There's no reason to.
What would a good husband do right now?
Yeah.
You know, then like two nights after that happened, I stubbed my toes really hard and they hurt for like a day and a half. So like I actually did do a little bit of limping. Like I can't handle not being the one that's injured. It's weird.
Just go down to the weight room in your apartment. Oh, that's right. You don't live in the same apartment complex.
I don't live there anymore, dude.
Oh. Go to the local.
I did go to the gym yesterday. Go to the gym.
Do a couple of squats with really poor form. Then with really heavy weight, and then you'll be good to go.
Fair enough. I can do that. That's easy. That's nothing.
Yeah. Anybody can do that.
With that, we'll end the show and I'll go to the gym. You can find me at PTTF_Brian. You can find us at PTTF_podcast. And again, please go check out that Jerry Kramer article because it is awesome and you will not regret reading it. Thank you everybody for listening. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack.